truck, truck, truck. Mother, motherfuck, mother, motherfuck, fuck, motherfuck, motherfuck. Noise, noise, noise. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Noise, noise, noise. Smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, beers, beers. Rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? We smoke the blunts. Rolling blunts and smoking.
Let me get a nickel bag.
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. If that money doesn't show, then you owe me, oh. My jungle love, yeah. Oh, we, I think I wanna know ya, yeah. What?
What the hell are you singing?
You don't know Jungle Love? That shit is the Mad Notes, written by God herself and handed down to the greatest band in the world, the motherfucking Time.
Cute cat. What's his name?
Annoying customer.
Fucking dickhead.
Wow, thanks, pickle fucker. You know, sometimes I wish I did a little more of my life instead of hanging out in front of places selling weed and shit. Like maybe be an animal doctor. Why not me? I like seals and shit. Or maybe an astronaut. Yeah. I'd be the first motherfucker to see a new galaxy or find a new alien life form. And fuck it. People be like, there he goes. Homeboy fucked the Martian once.
What's he doing?
Shithead here watched Empire and Jedi last week, and ever since he's been trying to do the Jedi mind trick. Crazy fuck thinks he'll levitate shit with his thoughts. Knock it off.
The force is strong with this one.
Is that a fucking Bible?
Hey, the holy fucking Bible, son.
What the fuck kind of songbird Jesus freak demons you bring me to?
I like them, man. They're funny.
They're fucking stupid.
You should read your Bible, sirs. You'll find all types of weird shit in there. Like, did you know Jesus was a Jew?
Yeah.
My love for you is like a truck bell sucker. Would you like some making fuck bell sucker?
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Are you open?
Yes.
We cue the music.
Matt. 37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hi, Randall.
37?
Shut up. Why don't you go back to the video store?
Hey, try not to suck any dick on the way through the parking lot.
Put it where it doesn't belong. My pipes need cleaning. All tit fucking volume 8. I need your cock. Ass worshipping rim jobbers. My cut in 8 shafts. Come clean. Come gargling naked sluts. Come buns 3. Coming in socks. Come on, Eileen. Huge black cocks with pearly white cum. Girls who crave cock. Girls who crave cunt. Met alone 2, the KY connection. Pink pussy lips. Oh yeah, and all holes filled with hard cock. Yep. Oh, wait a minute, what was that called again?
Hey, are any balls down there?
The biggest prayer you ever seen, Dingleberry.
Come on. Did you ever try to suck your own dick?
No. Yeah, like you said, I guess everybody gets curious and tries it sometime.
I never tried it. Fucking pervert.
Yeah, open a video store.
Shut the fuck up, junkie.
My mother told me once that when I was 3 years old, my potty lid was closed. And instead of me lifting it, I shit my pants.
Lovely story.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Fuck! I'm not even supposed to be here today. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Oh, fuck you.
Why do you smell like shoe polish?
It smells like shoe polish.
What smells like shoe polish? Something smells like shoe polish.
Working on my day off, the goddamn steel shutters are closed, I deal with every backward-ass fuck on the planet, I smell like shoe polish, my ex-girlfriend is catatonic after fucking a dead guy, and my present girlfriend has sucked 36 dicks.
37.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. I'd fuck me hard.
I mean, the guys in that Prince movie?
Yeah, Purple Rain.
That shit was so gay, fucking 80s style.
Let's start the show, Kevin Smith.
And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88. Roads?
Originally, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, the Kevin Smith Retrospective. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Kevin Smith makes shows like Trending Mobile Technology, Tunes, and The Real News. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to podcasts. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, the OTNet, hashtag OSATN. No further ado, let's get into our panel for this week. We've got Heavy Set.
Like always.
We've got D-Ren.
Like sometimes. Not.
And we've got Carp.
I swear, Superman blows a load. It's like a shotgun out of her back.
This week, we're talking all Kevin Smith, the podcaster, writer, director, comedian, filmmaker, author. I mean, this guy is a god in some of the geek community. I'm definitely a fan. I can't say he's widely popular, but he definitely has a very strong niche fan base. Before I get into anything, I'd like to get opening thoughts on Kevin Smith. We'll start with Carp.
Oh, I mean, I thoroughly enjoy his films. I see where there's a lot of people who don't like him for reasons. He's made his mistakes, obviously, from our complaints about Tusk and such, but generally I'm paying to go see a movie in the cinema ever since the first time I saw Mallrats.
Opening thoughts, Kevin Smith. We'll give it to D-Ren.
Yeah, to me, Kevin Smith is—he kind of has his own, like Carp has said, his own niche type of movies. I find when he goes to the more mainstream, bigger budget movies, it doesn't come out as well. So I think, yeah, I mean, he does have his own fan base. I find his films very witty, and yeah, they're just very enjoyable if you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got that niche audience, and you're right. Every time he's tried to make a film for somebody else, it doesn't work. One, because for whatever reason, it just doesn't click. Either he's got an asshole actor or he just doesn't bring it. And two, the audience isn't there. He's got his core audience, and it just seems like he's never surpassed that core audience. And he's finally come to realize that, you know, he's fine with not having the $100 million blockbuster, but if he's going to release a Clerks 3 or whatever, he's going to have that guaranteed $20 million at the box office. So if he budgets himself accordingly, he's going to be successful. Heavy Set, let's get your opening thoughts.
I absolutely love Kevin Smith. And the question that I want to ask to everybody that, as a part of this, unless you were planning this already, is how did you first start watching Kevin Smith movies? How did you find out about Kevin Smith? Because for me, that's where it kind of all started. I was in high school I think I was around eighth grade going into my freshman year when Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back came out. And I was kind of like, oh, this movie looks cool. I started watching it. And then obviously the first, 10 minutes or so, or 15 maybe, there's that whole thing where they go through every single movie one by one in order, or with all these references where if you've never watched it, you don't get it, but it kind of introduces you to certain characters and whatnot. So I was like, okay. Then I went back and rewatched a whole shit ton of stuff through time. And I think through that, I fell in love with it. And also, it was funny because I actually remember, you didn't really send out an outline for this, but it's also was a part of a Kevin Smith stuff was the cartoon series. I remember Clerks, the animated series, but I had no idea that there was a movie based off of it. And later on, I was like, oh my God, I actually remember this because I think it was what stood out was the whole Silent Bob character. Another thing I like to throw out too that I did, it shows you how much a fan I am. And I don't even consider myself a huge over the top fan. Like I'm not obsessed, but I went all the way from where I am in Ohio to Ann Arbor, Michigan to go see him. Basically see him speak where one of his Kevin Smith lines was, if you like wow. Kevin Smith, it's worth it. It's exactly like what you see on the DVDs, which I love of his too. And I have most of those where it's him telling stories for like 2 hours. And it's one of the best live acts that I've ever been to. The only person that comes close to, in my personal opinion, is the live act for Gabriel Iglesias.
It's funny you mentioned those live acts because, yeah, in the mid to late 90s, he came out with all these, even like the 2000s on, he came with all these like DVDs where he just go and do Q&As. And, you know, I remember him saying on podcasts, he never even considered himself a performer, really. He's not a stand-up comedian. He doesn't come up with material beforehand. He just kind of wings it. And like you said, he's a good storyteller. He's just naturally funny, too, which is good. And he interacts well with the audience. It's interesting you brought up that question. I was going to actually kind of bring it up, too, but might as well start at it. I would say, you know, I was aware of Kevin Smith for a long time. Mallrats, Clerks 2, I went to see in the theater. I couldn't say I was a really passionate fan until I started listening to a lot of his podcasts. And I read his book as well. And that kind of got me more into the background of like what he was about, how he got started, the whole thing with Clerks and Sundance and all that. And then I was able like to like kind of what you did, I revisit all the old material and come back and now have a good understanding of like where he got started and all that. And I love his fourth wall breaks. That's my favorite thing about him, is that he writes for fanboys. We're going to get into it, but you know, Chasing Amy is set at a Comic-Con. I mean, that's like 15 years ago, before Comic-Cons were cool. So it's really a fan who writes for the fans, and you don't see that a lot in Hollywood. And that's why I became a fan of his. Carp, when was the first time you really got became a fan of Kevin Smith?
Well, as soon as first ever movie I saw his was on Mallrats, probably in 96 when it came out on VHS. That's right, folks, VHS.
What's that?
In 1996.
The
year before I graduated from high school, I was at my parents' campground at the time, and a buddy of mine there had a copy of it, so we watched it. He's like, yeah, you gotta check this out, it's super funny. Laughed almost the entire movie because it's so ridiculous. And then I just continued from there. I saw Dogma in the cinema, I saw Strike Back in the cinema, the Clerks animated series on DVD. It's buried somewhere in the thousands of DVDs I have. And I've just continued pretty much trying to catch everything in the cinema if we get it here. Unfortunately, some of his stuff is limited release, like Red State. We only got here at Fantasia, sold out, didn't get to see it. He was there at Fantasia from what I heard, which pissed me off because didn't get to see him. But yeah, I've been a fan since mid-90s.
D-Ren, when did you become aware of Kevin Smith and became a fan?
Well, actually, I was exposed to it with Mallrats. That was the first movie. And actually, regarding the other ones, pretty recently, like I guess just before the podcast type thing, I discovered a lot of these movies. So I'm basically a newbie.
That's all good, man. Well, welcome to the club.
I saw a few of them a couple years ago, like more of the mainstream ones, like Zack and Mary and Jersey Girl. But besides that, it was pretty new to us.
Yeah. And I'm sure Jersey Girl will come up in this podcast. But let's start from the beginning. A movie that he apparently maxed out his credit cards to record.
Oh, not just that. He, like, sold his, like, super comic collection he used to have. And if this wasn't successful, he was going to be in financial debt for the rest of his life. So
he really put all his eggs in one basket. Yeah, everything balls to the wall. And really took his creative vision and went for it. And I give him credit for it, man. With a budget of $26,000... this has become a cult classic, instantly selling on Sundance for $3 million, apparently. So let's get into it. This is Clerks.
Salsa Shark. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Throughout history, they have been a part of our American life. Men and women who have made it their mission to serve their fellow man. They've worked hard enough. Isn't it time? They had their own movie. Clerks.
This job would be great if it wasn't for the customers.
I don't bother them and they don't bother me.
I can do without the people in the video store.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
You should hear the barrage of stupid questions I get.
What do you mean there's no ice? You mean I gotta drink this coffee hot?
You'd feel a hell of a lot better if you just rip into the occasional customer.
You're a clerk, paid to do a job. You can't just do anything you want while you're working.
What kind of convenience store do you run here?
Miramax Films presents...
You think anybody can see us down here?
Why? Do you want to have sex or something?
Can we?
Clerks. Just because they serve you doesn't mean they like you.
You hate people.
But I love gatherings. Isn't it ironic?
Clerks is shot in 1984 in black and white for budgetary and lighting reasons, but really added to the effect of the film, in my opinion. My thoughts quickly. The one thing I find as a person who worked in the service industry in my younger days is pretty much everybody can associate with Randall and Dante. These two, I mean, say I'm more of a Dante, but I mean, I've got Randalls in my life too, just tell people to fuck off and stuff. And it's almost like everybody kind of wants to live through that guy who just doesn't give a fuck and, you know, spits water in customers' faces and stuff. Definitely holds up, actually, even to this day. I rewatched it this morning after not watching it for a couple of years. And in terms of geek culture and stuff, I find it really holds up. Stuff I like were like the Nazi speech for the cigarettes, the necrophilia part, the hockey game during like they close the store to play hockey in the roof, and then it gets into a fight with a guy and he knocks the ball off. It's like, it's my only ball and stuff. And it's also like one of the first movies that I remember that talks about other movies in the monologue. It's just a movie about talking about Star Wars. They're just two fanboys talking. Then that's a topic in a movie, which I thought is really like, as a fanboy myself, it was cool to see on screen. Like the old man, well, he lines up dying, jerking off, whatever, but keeps going back. He's like, oh, can I use your bathroom? And he's like, oh, what kind of toilet paper do you have? Can I have a porno mag? And like, he keeps coming back. And at the end of the day, the delivery's kind of like, you could see they're not professional actors. Like the delivery's a little too quick, I find. But, you know, for what Kevin Smith, his limitations that he just had his buddies filming with him. It was definitely entertaining, super funny, cult classic, and probably one of his best films, actually, even though it was his first one. I give it 8 fucking necrophiliacs out of 10. Carp, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, this is definitely one of his best up there. This isn't my top 5 of his, obviously. So same stuff. I mean, it's the Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob, the beginning of really their story when you think about it at the same time, how Jay and Silent Bob have gone from that all the way to Clerks 2, and then we're probably going to see them in the next View Askew-based movie.
Yeah, they're in everything, yeah, pretty much.
You could tell Kevin Smith's love of hockey just from all of his films as well.
And the Degrassi reference?
Degrassi stuff. If you listen to Jericho's podcast when he had Kevin Smith on, apparently when he got the big money from, was it Miramax, I believe? Or the Weinsteins?
Yes.
Yeah.
That he went out and collected all of the Degrassi stuff on VHS from Scholastics. Now, if that's not an old school name throwback, I don't know what is.
And that's like, he wasn't paying $20. He was paying like $300 for a cassette. Yeah,
exactly. To me, you know, it's Dante's story, but it's all about Randall to me in this movie.
But he wasn't even supposed to be there.
Nope. And well, originally Kevin Smith wrote, I believe it was the Dante character for himself.
No, I meant like he wasn't supposed to be working there that day.
Yeah, well, they were never supposed to be working there that day.
Yeah.
And this was, like, you could tell this was his life story because it was actually filmed in the store he worked in at the time. So.
Yeah, and they trashed fucking during the fight. Like, I'm curious how much the product they lost there.
But for me, it's a 7.5 rooftop hockey games out of 10.
Awesome. D-Ren, Clerks, go.
Yeah, like, I just recently watched it, so it's pretty new to me. But, yeah, I mean, I can associate with the Dante character because in two reasons. One, I worked, well, I guess Dante and Randall, I worked in a video store, so I've had those customers ask me, have you seen this movie with the scene with, like, a random scene or a random actor? And, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or, you know, you have the, like, some of the weird customers where I had a woman who always came in every week and rented a Tom Cruise movie, even though she's seen, like, them, like, 10 times. I don't know what she was doing with them at home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, you had the strange customers. But I was also, like, in my early 20s, and I was kind of, like, Dante's character, like, kind of stagnated and not wanting to kind of take charge of my life. I kind of just completed university and just, like, I took psych for no reason, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was at that point where I'm like trying to figure out, like, am I going to go forward? Or am I just going to stay where I am in my life? So it's kind of very meaningful to me. But yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I like kind of the friendship between Randall and Dante. You know, Randall was more the just shouting people customers' face, and I guess Dante was more the, what's the word, like the straight man, like who would
Yeah,
fuck around.
But they do complement each other really well in the two films.
Oh yeah, like in Clerks too, the whole speech with the counterpoint and everything to their characters. But yeah, it's just, to me, it's a movie about the, I mean, you see how Randall cares about Dante, where he tells I guess his ex-girlfriend, like, "I'll kill you if you hurt him," you know. That was a very, I guess, poignant point.
I don't think he's going to have to worry about that. I think she's still in the mental ward right now.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was a great film. Maybe low budget, but, I mean, the dialogue was amazing. And you kind of just seen the beginning of their relationship, Dante and Randall. It was very interesting, their speeches. So I'm going to give this, actually, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it a 9 milk jugs out of 10.
Heavy set, anything you want to add?
This, I think, if I were to rank all the View Askew movies, that means that doesn't count any of the thing that he did outside of that universe. This is actually, I think, my second to last one. That's only because I like some of the ones above it more. This is one of the great examples of why I love Kevin Smith. Watching his stuff in the years past since this has come out, you can tell how much of a geek and he is about film and everything, because he always seems to put out some of the best DVDs, because how they can do special features and all that, what now. And I'm curious, have either of you, well, any of you, because there's three, I'm sorry, seen the original version of Clerks, which you can see on the 10th anniversary DVD?
No, actually, I just assumed what I could download was the original version.
I read about the ending.
Well, shut up! Get into it!
Don't blow his load, man.
Well, it's basically, it's like this. It's basically what you're getting, you got is like when they released it by Miramax. I'm talking the original version that he took to Sundance and all that. Because there were three changes. And the only one that's big is the last one I'll mention. But one, it is grainier. Like, they had better ways to make it look better. So it's that very independent quality, grainy, and all that. There is no background music either, and that's the second part. So,
oh wow,
all this stuff, because at least even said that, like, oh, new music from blah, 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 blah. Those were obviously in the original version, and you can actually catch that on the DVD. And the last thing is something that I never knew about until I threw in this DVD and I sat down and watched it. And, you know, I noticed those parts. I'm like, oh, so I was getting to enjoy it without the background music and whatnot. And I think when I showed this movie to my ex, who I ended up getting her into Kevin Smith, when I showed her this version, she hated it. She liked the one, the updated version. But the ending is a scene that was cut. At the end of the movie, after he closes shop, a burglar comes in and shoots him.
Oh, fuck.
And it goes perfect with the whole thing. I wasn't supposed to be here today. And the person who played that cut part was none other than Kevin Smith himself.
Oh, fuck. Well, I guess they cut it because obviously, you know, there was future... There was more future for the character.
Because he ended up coming back, and obviously Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back and Clerks 2, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
So, and it, but it was just, you could tell, like, that was him making an independent movie, and that's the perfect independent movie ending, but trying to build a franchise kind of out of it a little bit, you're going to need that character to stay alive. And then I see it just better as a whole, like, that feeling when you come out of a movie theater, if you were going to watch, it's kind of like, oh, cool, instead of like, this movie's, oh, and he's dead.
Oh, fuck, he's dead. Yeah, imagine, like, all that.
I would say if you can get your hands on the 10th anniversary DVD, I don't know if it's on the Blu-ray. I have the Clerks Blu-ray, but I'm not sure if it's on there. But, well, like I was saying, too, he's done this with a couple DVDs, but I think this one's the best because it's the only one that has, like, an original version.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of cool to see his original kind of thought process. That'd be a fucking, I mean, that'd be a cool ending, I guess, as an indie film fan. But as just a general layman, you'd go into it, you'd be like, the guy, his fucking ex gets committed, his girlfriend dumps him, he gets a $500 fine, gets shit on, then he gets shot. It's like fucking hashtag worst day ever.
He wasn't supposed to be there that day.
And he wasn't supposed to be there that day, absolutely. Okay, moving on. Cinematic success a bit later on, more of a cult classic. Disappointing financially, but... one of my favorites for Kevin Smith, for a lot of reasons, it's Mallrats.
I've never met a person who lives in as much fear of his mother as you do.
You know what I should tell my mother what we do in here at night?
What, that you play video games and I fall asleep unfulfilled?
Oh, she calls you callow in here. You say that like it's bad. Well, it means frightened and weak-willed.
That was the only part of the letter I thought was complimentary.
This is Brody's private hell.
Where the hell did that come from? What's going on here?
And these...
Brody man, noochie noochies.
...are his friends.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
What's a stink palm?
Take your hand, you stick it like this. There, now you shake hands with the guy. You know how long it takes for that smell to come off? If you stare at these things long enough, you're supposed to see some kind of hidden three-dimensional picture.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a sailboat.
You saw it too, damn it!
We slept together one time, remember, in high school, that ski trip?
That was you?
Dude, this looks like your mom.
Bye-bye, Easter Bunny.
There is no Easter Bunny!
You know about this game show thing they got going on here? Well, we need you guys to somehow ensure that it doesn't happen.
Welcome to Truth or Date.
Second suitor, would you ever make whoopee in public?
No, I think that's kind of personal. I don't think I should answer that.
Mall rats.
You said it was a good size.
When a girl says it's a good size, it's a nice way of saying that it's small.
What else did you expect from the director of Clerks?
Hey!
Budget of $6 million, box office of $2.1 million domestic, later doing a lot better on the home market and subsequently being a cult classic, you know, 10, 15 years later. My thoughts quickly, I found this really showed teenage life at the time, 1995. Funny, Jason Lee walks around with this like espresso-sized soft drink cup for like 3/4 of the movie. He's like saving it. I mean, it was kind of funny. Like he finally gets it knocked out of his hand by Ben Affleck when he goes for a refill, but literally 3/4 of the movie, he brings around this stupid cup with him. Jay and Silent Bob are really exposed in this movie. This is kind of their bigger debut. In Clerks, they were more of kind of side characters. I find they're more shown in this movie, and this is probably why they got more success, like 2001 and stuff like that. They got their own spinoff, but this really shows Jason Mewes and his comedic genius. Craziness, him and Silent Bob back and forth. I found that Jason Lee and Jeremy London, I found they have really good chemistry back and forth. I don't know why this is only London's only movie with Kevin Smith. You see Jason Lee in more films, but I thought London did okay for kind of this teen comedy. Shannon Doherty looked pretty hot in this too. I liked the security guy, LaForce. He's like the typical mall security bad guy. You got the Tell 'Em Steve Dave reference. So I think there's a podcast called Tell 'Em Steve Dave. And that actually comes from Walter Flanagan has a cameo in this. And I think he botched the line instead of saying Tell 'Em Steve and then Dave. He said Tell 'Em Steve Dave. And they kept it in the movie, which is awesome. And I find Affleck plays a really good antagonist in this. He plays his usual douchebag self. But it's kind of the first iteration on screen of him being a douche. I thought he did a good job in there. Let's throw it to D-Ren first. Let's get your thoughts on Mallrats.
This was actually the one I've really been exposed to before, like the podcast and a couple of the newer mainstream films. And to me, I find it's quite a drop off from the first movie. I'm not the biggest fan of this movie after rewatching it. I guess maybe because they focus, I don't know, maybe it was a bigger budget and I found it wasn't as focused, the plot. Like, basically, they focus on two relationships, but like didn't have enough time to kind of explore that as much. I love Jason Lee, though, actually. When he gets angry or pissed off, it's just his vocalizations or expressions are really funny. I kind of found that Jay and Silent Bob, I thought they were... I didn't really like him in this film. It's the only one I didn't really like them. They went for more... I know they were their comic relief, but...
It's more for, like, the slapstick, you know?
Yeah, it just felt a little too silly. I know it's kind of weird to say that because that's what they are, but it's just kind of too comic booky. But anyway, you know, It's okay. I mean, I really like Clerks, and I just really found that it was quite a big drop-off off of this. So I'm going to give this 6 making whoopies out of 10.
I think it was Kevin Smith's attempt to be more mainstream. That was the maybe the drop-off. Maybe the movie companies wanted him to do it a certain way. I don't know. Maybe this is because Clerks is very niche.
Yeah.
And I love the movie, but it's very targeted towards geek culture, where this is more of just more of a pop culture flick. It's more for a general audience.
Yeah, and they had the Star Wars stuff with the Jedi mind trick. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of funny, but it just wasn't. I wasn't as into this movie as I was with Clerks and a bunch of his other movies.
Cool. All right, Carp, let's get your review.
This is my number 2 out of my top 5, hands down. Just from the beginning, when Jason Lee is describing how his cousin Walter is going to get cats at a vet to dig gerbil out of his asshole, I was dying. From what I read, though, apparently this was originally supposed to be based on the T.S. Quint character, Jeremy Lin's character, and I can't imagine like how much it would have sucked. I think.
Because this is all Jason Lee's movie.
This Jason Lee just really took this role. Ethan Suplee too, as the kid who can't see the sailboat. I know that frustration because I can't see that fucking sailboat. So,
well, did you smash a stage?
No, but it was tempting. Michael Roker as one of the main antagonists was great. Just the beginning when he does like his karate stuff and his towel drops, I was dying laughter. And yeah, Jason Lee going on his monologue type rants were great. Jay and Silent Bob were obviously the slapstick of this, which I was fine with. I felt this movie came together really well. Even like Affleck as the sub antagonist and the LaFours.
Affleck?
And the LaFours.
Did you say Affleck?
Affleck!
Batflack!
And even like the LaFours security guard, like him just not saying a word because, well, he doesn't speak very good English anyways in real life.
There you go.
So I enjoyed that. And so for me, this movie is a 8.5 children sitting on escalators when they shouldn't at a 10.
And getting into accidents, bloody accidents.
The kid fucking shouldn't be on the escalator.
He's on the fucking escalator again. Jesus Christ. Have you said? Let's get your thoughts.
If I got the line correct, because it's been a while since I've seen this one, but it's a schooner. Ha ha. It's a sailboat. Schooner is a sailboat.
The Easter Bunny isn't real.
Yeah, man, he fucking pulls pure heel turn there, fucking telling all the kids that the Easter Bunny doesn't exist. I thought that was awesome.
This movie I have above Clerks in my book. Not by much. I'm not that high on this, but to me this had like a lot more standing out funny points because it does meld in with the times and pop culture a little bit, but there's also that geek niche that you got to remember too. Like, okay, this is more for the broader audience, but I don't think it's by much. Because they still have a lot of comic book references, especially with Stan Lee in the movie and like all the questions and stuff. So it still has that appeal to it, but it's nowhere as niche as Clerks. Like I said, it's been a while, so I'm trying not to rate any of these, but I'm just where they are on my list. And like I said, I think of the 6 VSQ movies, Clerks would be 5, this would be 4. That line comes out to me, and chocolate-covered pretzel, which has always been a joke between me and a lot of my friends.
Stink palm. All right, let's go into this is more of a romantic drama, a bit of comedy, too. Kevin Smith's highly regarded Chasing Amy.
It's quite a long face, Horace.
I'm just having a little girl trouble.
Pressing charges? I get that a lot.
Holden McNeil was set in his ways. The way he worked, the way he lived, and the way he thought love should be. But then, she showed up.
Let me guess, you like her.
This girl loves me.
There's something you should know.
She got a boyfriend.
Well, no.
Then what's to know, my friend?
And this girl's got a secret that's going to drive him crazy.
I like you, Hogan. I'd really like us to be friends.
What I tell you, she just needs the right guy.
What's up?
And if you come pick me up, I'll be your best friend.
Now, the only thing standing in Holden's way is the truth.
I can't take this.
Can't take what?
I love you. Not in a friendly way.
How was your pseudo date?
Okay, I'm telling you, she's never even been with a guy.
You're dating a guy?
So what if it is true?
You know you have no shot at getting her into bed.
I take it that's not good.
Miramax Films presents a comedy that tells it like it feels.
Well, she's been around and seen things we've only read about in books.
So what'd you do last night?
Got lucky.
Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy, 1997, budget of $250,000, box office of $12 million, very successful movie for Kevin Smith, starring Ben Affleck, Joy Lauren Adams, Jason Lee, Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, of course, Jay and Silent Bob. The movie takes place at a Comic-Con. It's the third annual Comic-Con, and it was really cool to see it there because they're showing off Comic-Con before it was a popular thing, a cool thing. So they were Comic-Con before Comic-Con was cool. This is Kevin Smith kind of crossover of movies. I like the Clerks references, like fuck Quick Stop employee and stuff. So you kind of, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, of course, are in all the movies, but you see the, how all of the universes kind of somewhat come together. Of course, Ben Affleck being a douche in the previous film, he's more of a, he's the protagonist in this movie. A lot of funny scenes. The dialogue back and forth at the dinner scene, talking about like eating out the chicks, the interview scene, a lot of great dialogue. Also good dialogue about the stereotypes of just lesbians back and forth, like how men kind of think that they can, you know, lesbians are just women who haven't had good dick yet. And once they have the good dick, we can convert them, you know. In this movie, she actually kind of does somewhat get converted, but not really anyways. It is dated. You know, you've got like people with beepers. Jason Lee's bringing his porn mags. They're using payphones. Of course, a bit. I mean, it's set in the late 90s, but it definitely holds up in terms of dialogue and stuff, especially like with the Comic-Con stuff. A lot of passive aggressive gay bashing via Jason Lee. And I totally do this right now, like to this day with my friends, with just like the joking around, calling each other, you know, names. I'm not going to say the names, of course. But so him and the back and forth, a really good back and forth that they had. I've called Carp and I have had those discussions on buses, just the same types of back and forth. So it's kind of cool to see that on film.
There's not much discussion that you're speaking of.
What's
there's
that?
There's not much discussion. There's,
well, you know what I'm saying.
And then calling me names the entire bus ride.
No, but then back and forth. I mean, you know, just even when we're watching wrestling, we're calling each other names, fucking around. It just really reminded me of the back and forth banter I have with my friends as well. This is Affleck's kind of first lead role that I remember. I thought he had really good chemistry with Joey Lauren Adams. I know Carp's not a big fan because of her voice and stuff, but I thought she was a good actress. I liked their back and forth. This is, again, the quintessential role for Jason Lee, just being a fucking asshole character. He's great for that. And I will say, you know, like in terms of serious acting, Ben Affleck's car scene with Joey Lauren Adams, the back and forth where he has the speech, it was like some of the best acting I've ever seen him have. The ending's fucking weird. The gay proposition scene, to have like a three-way with his buddy, that was... It just gets fucking weird at the end. But overall, I thought the acting was good for the budget in that. I think it's one of Kevin Smith's best written movies. And I'm not more of a, I'm not a chick flick guy, but, you know, because of the comic book and geek references, it kind of stuck me in. So I'm going to give it 8 licking lesbians out of 10. Carp, let's get your review.
I find this movie is not aged well at all. I'm still able to watch Clerks and Mallrats every once in a while. Hell, I even try and pop in Mallrats at least once a year. Joey Lauren Adams... way overacted, like the emotional breakdown scene. I found it.
Yeah, the rain scene was overdone.
So overdone. And just, there's only so much of her, I guess, I could take in a movie. Jason Lee had a much smaller role where I always find Jason Lee in a View of Scooby movie because of Mallrats. After seeing this, I thought he'd have a bigger role, but he didn't. Affleck and Lee, for the amount that they were on the screen together.
You called him Affleck again.
Whatever. Is it Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck.
Affleck, whatever. Their chemistry was well done, as was Affleck. You got me saying it now. Affleck and
take a drink.
Adams at the same time. The hockey scene where he's talking and trying to like get the truth out of her, though, that had me laughing quite a bit. During a hockey game where she's yelling, and he's like, so finger cuffs, right? Where did that name come from? And then it's like the moment that there's a silent part in the hockey game, she screams out what she did. That had me laughing quite a bit. And the black guy who would go from like super, like, black's the way to go and fuck the white man. And
he goes from Malcolm X to like,
from Malcolm X to like Michael Smith, that had dying. The first time I saw that, I was not expecting it. And I actually laughed out loud in the cinema when I saw that. So. For me, I don't know, I guess I wasn't expecting a drama and I was expecting more of a comedy. So for me, it's a 6.5 finger cuffs out of 10.
You know, it's not Kevin Smith's usual work, but that's what I liked. It was something different. And, it's actually a rom-com I didn't mind. D-Renz, your thoughts?
Well, I actually loved this movie. Being a first-time viewer, I was just kind of blown away by the dialogue. And I have to disagree with you guys about the scene in the rain. I didn't think that was overacted. I mean, I thought it was like, it was kind of like real life. It was very raw. It was very honest. It was passionate. It was kind of like almost
a very bad relationship then. Because I've never had that breakdown psychotic moment ever with any of the girls I've dated.
Well, yeah, I know. But I just think that because Joey Lauren Adams' voice was so like, it was kind of grating almost, that I just thought it was perfect, because you've seen these like typical rom-coms that like it's just little things that set people off, you know, it just seems everything's like perfect, you know. I kind of like the flaws of like, you know, her voice being too high and stuff like that. And it kind of reminds me of like teenage romance, because, you know, a teenage romance is kind of just like all emotions and all like, I don't want to say adrenaline. I'm trying to think of the word, but it's just like, it's very intense. So for that, I love the movie. I just think it was like a kind of a perfect rom-com, because the Hollywood version of what it is kind of just too perfect, too cutesy. I liked the whole, I thought the ending was a little weird, but I kind of like the fact that she didn't want to do that. She was kind of just wanted to be with Holden. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. So I'm going to give this kind of a rare 10.
Ooh.
I can't even think of it. I'm going to give it a 10. 10 10 Chasing Amy. That's the name of the film. 10 ski balls out of 10.
All right, Heavy Man, ski your thoughts.
This is the movie that is in my sixth spot of the VUSQ movies. For some reason, I'm just not as high on this, I think, as I am, especially the next three movies that we're going to talk about who are in my top three. I don't know what it is about them that I like more, but I don't know. Another thing that I think gets me about this movie, too, it has nothing to do with about the movie. It was me chasing to find this DVD when I was trying to get my collection. This is one of the hardest ones to find, at least for me, because Clerks 2 and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back are fairly new, and that's during right around the DVD craze, so they're going to be out easier. Dogma is such a big one. That's another, I can't wait till we can talk about that one. That has
really, you know, that's interesting. Sorry to cut you off quick. I had a lot of trouble getting a legal version of Dogma, like online.
I was like Heavy chasing Amy. I couldn't find. I was trying to complete the collection. I couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden, one day at HMV, $5 bin. I'm like, what?
well, here's my thing about that, because like I was saying, Dogma, that's such a good one. That, like, actually, I think that's one of the few that I own two copies of, because I have a particular regular version and a special edition version. Special edition version is amazing. I had mentioned Clerks and Mallrat, like those have all come out a lot. Chasing Amy is one that they released like one version of, and that's it. I think I bought my copy about 5 years ago, and I think I paid close to full price. Like, I think I paid like maybe $11-$15, because I was going to a place where they had used DVDs and they didn't have it used. I couldn't find it used anywhere. Like I said, I was chasing the Chasing Amy DVD.
It should make a documentary on your experience chasing Amy.
Well, seeing how that was years ago, there is other DVDs, because I've always tried to have the perfect Kevin Smith collection, but like, I think through financial times, like hard times for me over the past couple of years, I haven't been able to buy anything new for him in quite some time. But there was a while, like when I bought the animated series for Clerks, I was so excited, and I had found that, I think, used for like $5, and I was just like, oh my god, I found this, and this was so hard to find. I know I'm somewhat behind even on his live stuff too. But like this, I think I like some of the other movies more. And it's been a while since I've seen it. So that's going to help like hinder my rating on it too.
You know what? It's almost like he was a podcaster before podcasting happened. because a lot of his DVDs and stuff, I mean, it resembles just conversations that he has in his podcast. And that's why I think he must like it, because he can really interact with the audience so quickly. You know, it takes, if you write a movie, I mean, the amount of time it takes for the writing to it, to the development, the casting, the budgets, the release and all that, it takes, I'm sure, several years sometimes. Whereas you have an idea for a podcast, you just record and you throw it on the internet. So it's kind of cool that he's into that medium the way he is now. And it's almost, he's got like a network of multiple shows. And again, that's where I became a fan of his. So it's cool that he's able to, you know, quote unquote, tell stories again, just for a wider audience and have a quick turnaround.
I think for him too, that one of the other like first versions of a podcast was the director commentary on DVDs. He had some really good ones. The only thing that I put at his level on director commentary or cast commentary is the Family Guy DVDs. I've always loved watching those episodes that they would have the commentary on and watch them. And I think he's had some of the best director commentary. And I think the best one for me might have been Jay and Silent Bob, because I want to say part of it, there was like a little picture at the bottom of the screen that showed everybody, and they were like them all talking about it. And there's actually something, I think, on one of the live things where they actually kind of talk about it, because something happened during that commentary that he wanted to talk about, and it's something kind of big.
All right, so we're going to end part one here of the Kevin Smith retrospective. Part two will happen next week. So for Heavy Set, Carp, and D-Red, and this is Old School, thank you very much for listening.